Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Have to just see the size. The way he carries himself on the ice for a 6'5" player is kind of unbelievable to watch. His skating gets a little bit knocked because he doesn't necessarily have the quick first three steps that people expect, but the way he's so powerful and the way he takes up the ice is really something to behold when you look at him. That's actually the area where he has the most to develop in his game, is learning how to use that size. I think he's always been one of the bigger players. He's been this size for at least the last couple of years. So in junior hockey and even in the NCAA level, there's not a whole lot of guys that match up with him physically. So it hasn't been a tool that he's had to use to create an advantage because he's so much bigger than everybody else already. So I would say that's one of the biggest areas for growth in his game, is learning how to play that physical edge and learning how to use the fact that he is really big to create advantages for himself.
That is Bailey Johnson from Michigan Daily. She covered Owen Power at University of Michigan this past season, and talking about him on our show the other day. We are going to talk hockey. By the way, if you're just joining us, good morning. It's Thursday. It's looking like Don Granato for the Sabres coaching position.
Unless something changes, I think Darren Dreger reported he's the favorite as well. So, like, I think we're getting closer. Maybe a couple more weeks still, but signs pointing to Granato as the clear front runner, I think.
So we're here. We're getting your reaction, your thoughts on that. We'll get Marty's in a second. 803-0550 to join us, or 888-550-2550. Man, we told him we'd try not to bug him in the offseason, but who am I kidding? We love having Marty on the show, and I missed him a lot. And I was going through, Marty withdrawal yesterday during the Instigators. So, Mr. Baron, it's your morning show friends, Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, like I said to you the other day, Howard, on a text, I love all of you guys, most all of you guys, so I'm happy to be on. So
yeah.
That's good. You too, I really love.
I know, it's Hamilton. You didn't give me the exact name, but I know the one guy here you don't really care for, he's got to be Hamilton.
You know what's so funny is that he's texted me and tweeted me the last few times that I'm on the Instigators, and he's like, Marty, I don't know what's wrong, but I agree with what you say. And so we laugh about it. It's been great. So, yeah, maybe it's the fact that life is slowly getting back to normal somehow that me and Paul agree on things.
We were just talking about Granato. Signs seem to be pointing towards that. Maybe in a couple of weeks. If it is, let's start there. What are your thoughts if Don Granato does get the job now?
Well, the one thing that Don Granato did with the Sabres is he made them look like a hockey team, right? For the last few years, and I know Ralph was trying his things, and he had his good points and his bad points, and Phil Housley the same thing, but they did not look like a hockey team for the last 3.5-4 years. They looked like a team that was all over the place in the defensive zone, gave up point-blank chances night after night after night, and didn't have really structure going through the neutral zone in the offensive zone. So now Don Granato comes in as a head coach, takes him a week, 2 weeks, to kind of put his stamp on the team. But they look like a hockey team. They look like they knew how to defend. They look like passing was better. They had some transitional play. So, and he had I don't want to call it a less talented roster, but really he did. When you look at the start of the season for the Sabres with Jack Eichel, Taylor Hall, Eric Staal. I mean, there was a lot more talent early in the season, but they looked a lot better at the end of the season.
I don't want to use the term false positive because I don't think that's being a little too harsh. But when you judge Granato and what we saw in the last month or so, you know, Marty, the season was over. They were playing meaningless games. There was no pressure. He was at liberty to try, what the hell have I got to lose? Let me try anything I can to see if we can make this team better. If he does get the job, that changes. In October, there's pressure now. He's got to win. They're meaningful games at the start of the season. His neck's on the line. How much do you balance the results last year versus, there was really nothing on the line?
Well, I've been on teams like that, where at the end of the season, you're out of the playoffs, and basically you play a little bit more freely. But what happens is I look more at the players' performances than the team's performances. Like, what players stood out in a situation where they had nothing to lose, right? And is that sustainable? Would they be the same player next year? For Don Granato, as a coach, I look at different things. I don't just look at the win-loss record because it wasn't superb. Like, it wasn't like all of a sudden they were three games, four games over 500 down the stretch. But how does the team play? So it's the same thing with a coach and a team and players. Which players can continue their progress after what they did at the end of the season, and which one is most likely going to be, that was just because, they were used in different situations without the stress and the pressure of it. So, you can take it whatever way it goes. Next year is really going to tell you if we should have believed in the Sabres or not when they performed better at the end of the season.
Marty, do you think if it turns out to be Granato, let me ask you this, do you think there could be an associate coach? I only bring it up because Darren Dreger, who is on regularly, of course, with the Instigators, mentioned the other day that they had interviewed Rickard Granberg from Sweden and threw out the concept of, is it possible he could be an associate coach if he doesn't get the head coaching job here?
I don't think so. And I only say that because usually an associate coach comes in, it's somebody that's had a lot of experience in the National Hockey League, and they're the associate coach to a big name, to somebody that has been around for a while. So that, to me, is not Don Granato. He's not a big name. He's not been around for a while. I think he wants to be the head coach and be that. You're the head coach, and then you have your assistant. You delegate. Really, associate coach, to me, is a title. It's a title that somebody's earned. It's a title maybe to get more money as an assistant, but we've seen most often happen where it's a big name. It's somebody that deserves to be paid a little bit more and have a little bit more recognition than just a simple assistant. And I say simple, it's not. Assistants are a big part of what the job that gets done. They work incredibly hard, but it's just a title thing.
The goaltending, when we actually talk about the roster beyond the coach search and how to make the roster better and all the stuff, of course, Eichel's future, Reinhardt's future, expansion draft, what should the goaltending plan be? It has been somewhat of an issue for a while. What do you, one and the two guys here, what would your goaltending plan be for the Sabres?
I think Linus Ullmark deserves to be at least given an opportunity to negotiate a fair contract to be the number one goaltender with the Sabres. The only thing with Linus that is still on a question mark is his durability. He's been hurt a lot. Not his fault. Sometimes it just happens. But do you go into a season with a number one goaltender that you may sign for multiple years thinking there's a chance he could get hurt? I need to have somebody really good with him in case that happens. So that's the question mark with Linus Ullmark. But I think there's at least, in my opinion, should be a fair attempt by both sides to be making that deal happen. Now, after that, you can look around the league. There's going to be plenty of free agent. I think it's going to be a buyer's market when it comes to goaltenders. There's going to be way too many goalies and not too many chairs to sit on. There's going to be the trade aspect of it. Is Fleury going to be available? Are they going to make Fleury available again? I mean, I don't see why they would. He's been lights out all year. He's a Vezina Trophy candidate. This is incredible. They could be going to the conference finals tonight with Marc-Andre Fleury as their goaltender. So but he may be available. But again, you have to trade something to get something. So maybe the unrestricted free agent route is going to be better for the Sabres. There's going to be some big names on there. Peter Mrazek, which Carolina just lost, is probably going to be on there. Tuukka Rask is going to be on there. Freddie Anderson's going to be on there. If you need somebody for 2-3 years, I think there's definitely some names that you can shop on the free agent market.
Marty, the state of goaltending, or the guys that are left, you know, Carey Price, Vasilevsky, Varlamov, and then the winner of the Colorado-Vegas series, do you have any sort of takeaway of what this playoffs says about the position or the guys that are there?
You know, Jeremy, it's a copycat league, right? Like when the Antti Niemi and Michael Layton and Brian Boucher for the Flyers got to the finals, everybody was saying, "I have goaltending, you don't need the goaltending. It doesn't matter." This year, in the second round, 7 of the 8 goaltenders were either Vezina winners or Vezina candidates. So now you're like, oh, goaltending is big, right? So I personally always think that goaltending is a big part, is always going to be a big part of your success. But you can get value between $5 and $6.5 million to a number one goaltender and not have to pay $9-10 million like a Sergei Bobrovsky or Carey Price to be your goaltender. So that's the way I look at it. I think Varlamov has been really good for the Islanders, even though he struggled in the first round. But a lot of people said he was injured at the end of the season, and then he came in and played and didn't look himself. So he needed a little bit more of a break. But I thought the last few games against Boston, he's been lights out. Carey Price has been fantastic. Obviously, Vasilevsky is the best in the league. I don't care what people say. They may have their favorites other places. Vasilevsky is the best goaltender in the league. And when it comes to Fleury and Grubauer, they've been excellent as well. So I think goaltending's a big part. Once in a while, you get a year where it doesn't really matter. You can win with, you know, a rookie like Cam Ward or, you know, a goaltender like Antti Niemi with Chicago. But most often, you need somebody that's really good at that position.
And one thing about, you know, you're mentioning Vasilevsky. He's been there for a while. He's been through it. The Islanders are different in that they just keep kind of cycling through. The system they play, the way they play, is that a goaltender's dream? It's a dream to play in, but, of course, it's tough to stick in because they might decide that they can get somebody else to do it. They did it with Leonard and Thomas Greiss, and now here we are with Varlamov.
Yeah, or Sorokin. I mean, Varlamov is there, and he's doing great, but all of a sudden they could think, well, you know what, we don't need to spend that money. We have a guy that's cheaper in Sorokin, and he can get the job done the same way, like he did in the first round, right? So that's what you're going to get with the Islanders. It is a goaltender's dream. When I played for Jordan Tortorella with the New York Rangers, Henrik Lundqvist was the starter, and I was the backup, but the way Torts' defensive system was, made our job so much more easier. A lot of block shots, a lot of protecting the house. Sometimes we couldn't get out of the zone for 2 minutes, but there wasn't any good scoring chances. The only problem is you need to win games 2-1 or 3-2 because you're not going to score a ton of goals if you keep playing that very hunkered down defensive system. Right now, the Islanders, they've got some dynamic players, the Barzal, the Pageau, the Beauvillier, the Bailey. You know, Palmieri is doing great. So I think they're getting really, really solid production from those guys. But typically, they're only going to win 2-1 or 3-2, and that's the way they wanted to do it. So, you know, against Tampa, does that work? Yeah, it didn't work last year. I don't know if it's going to work this year again.
Marty, you mentioned, you know, copycat league in the goaltender discussion. I want to ask you about something Jeremy brought up earlier. As you know, sometimes when a team has success in the playoffs, especially if they win a cup, more so if they repeat, everybody will look at them and go, okay, yeah, let's do what they're doing. Let's either build the team that way or, you know, that's philosophically that style of approach to playing the game. And there are different looks, the Islanders being different than, say, Colorado. Do you think there is a team in the postseason where it is now the model to follow, so to speak? And if so, who?
Well, it's hard. I'll tell you this, because everybody right now in the postseason has got this unique look to their team. So let's start with like Tampa. Tampa, they're above and beyond everybody else, but they were able to put players like Stamkos and Kucherov on long-term IR this year. So right now they're really like a $95 to $100 million team when the cap is $81.5. But hey, you know what? They played it within the rules. It works. So nobody can build their team saying we're going to put, you know, $18 million on long-term IR. So you got to put Tampa aside. Colorado, you got to put them aside. They have Nathan MacKinnon making about half of what he should be making, right? And you've got Landeskog, same thing, on the expiring contract, making about half of what he should be making. So you say Colorado, they got lucky. They got, you know, Girard and McCarr and those guys cheap too. So it doesn't work. You can't look at them. The Islanders, well, it's Lula Morello. He does some magical things year in, year out, and Barry Trotz is a coach. So that's that. And Montreal, I mean, who would have thought that Montreal came out of the North Division? I mean, Winnipeg, Toronto were a better team. Edmonton were a better team. Montreal somehow just seemed to have the perfect storm. So it's really hard this year to target a blueprint for what works in the National Hockey League. Every team has got this unique situation. I saw a tweet that said, out of the top 17 highest-paid players in the National Hockey League this year, only Carey Price survived the first round. Everybody else either didn't make the playoffs or got out of the first round. The McDavids, the Draisaitl, the Matthews, the Marner. And maybe we'll see MacKinnon and Rantanen and those guys out tonight. Pasternak, Marchand, they're out. Like, it's so difficult to build a regular season team and then have a team that can be a playoff team, right? So that's if you have the recipe for that, good luck. Because you're not sharing it, and it's very hard to attain.
It is wild, Marty. You mentioned Carey Price there. We had the stat that he's the first $10 million player to win a playoff series that's not a qualifying series. No other player with a $10 million salary had a playoff series win until Carey Price did it. Now, you know, moving on into further rounds, it was going to happen in that series no matter what. It was Montreal versus Toronto. So that was from a couple of weeks ago, but – you know, of all these guys to get this money, it ends up being a goalie's the first one to get through.
Yeah, it's wild because usually I always think that, again, your goalies between $4 and $6.5 million, that's where you usually find the best value for your goaltender. I mean, if a $10.5 million goaltender, $10+ million goaltender gets you a great season, he's at 920, 922, 925 save percentage. And you can get a $4 million guy, a $5 million guy that's going to give you 919, 920. So does that 5-1-1,000 of a, you know, really matter? No, it doesn't. You get good value in the $4 to $6.5 million range. And it goes up every year because the cap, well, not now, but the cap eventually will keep going up. But to spend over $10 million on a goaltender, I would have thought that the player making $10 or more million would have had a bigger impact than a goaltender at this point, and that's not the case, which proves me wrong once again.
I've got one more question for you about the playoffs, but I want to set it up by saying it is nice to hear your anti-Canadian bias coming out of your Quebec Nordique fan mouth. It's a two-parter. you know, honestly, I thought about you, Marty. I knew you were going to be on the show today. I knew Montreal's waiting to be a winner, and maybe it's Colorado. And I thought you tweeted out something about the Nordique, and I'm thinking, do you, if Montreal's playing Colorado, do you have a Nordique jersey from when you grew up as a fan of the team? Do you pop that on for that series?
I don't think I could put it on because I was like 4 years old when it was fitting. So, but I have a Buddy Cloutier, a Real Cloutier jersey. It actually is, and Real Cloutier played here in Buffalo. That was the Andre Savard trade and all of that, Tony McKechnie. But so, and everybody called Real Cloutier Buddy. It was, but it's not B-U-D-D-Y. It was B-O-D-Y. I don't know why. It's like body.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the French spelling, but I have a number 9 jersey that actually has Buddy as the nameplate when I was a kid. But my son, Jacob, got me for Christmas last year a Nordiques t-shirt and a Nordiques hat. So I'm definitely putting that on if Colorado is playing Montreal in the semifinal.
And she wore the throwback jerseys. What, as a hockey fan, okay, as a fan who's going to be watching the Stanley Cup Finals, for you, what would the most entertaining matchup be?
It would be, in my opinion, Colorado-Tampa in the Stanley Cup Finals. I think we are seeing pretty much the second most exciting matchup in the playoffs this year between Colorado and Vegas. The intensity, the speed. Sometimes I watch the game and I'm thinking, wait a second, are they doing a trick with the cameras? Like, is the camera moving because it makes the players look so fast? No, it's just that this series is faster, quicker, transition, the scoring chances. It's those two teams are at the top of the league in that department, and then Tampa is right there too. So Vegas Tampa would be great too, but I think Colorado Tampa would probably be the premium matchup for me.
Yeah, Islanders Montreal be a snooze fest, right?
Well, it'd be interesting. I'll tell you this, just because those would be two teams that, you know, in the way that the conferences are, usually would never meet in the finals. So that would be interesting, having such a close proximity kind of finals. But it wouldn't be the best hockey. I want to say Colorado or Vegas against Tampa would be where my money would be at.
Well, Mr. Braun, it's always nice having you on the show. We love you. We miss you. We hope you're having a nice summer.
I have one follow-up. We didn't talk F1 yet.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, we were going to mention that. Yeah, we got a road trip planned. Yeah.
Do you have connections so when the F1 circuit does return to Montreal, we can go? Like, we'll have a team. You know, we'll just all go up and hang out and watch the race in Montreal.
Yes. I can try to make that happen.
Right.
I'm probably going to have to go through my brother because he's the one that has all the connection. But I've talked to Petey and Rivs, and Petey, like, Tuesday morning, you know, we got together, like, on the Zoom to do the instigator, and he goes, before we got the 9:55 before the instigator, he's like, oh, my gosh, Marty, did you watch the race this weekend? I'm like, yeah. So we had, like, a five-minute conversation on it. I felt so bad. I thought of you, Jeremy, when Verstappen is just like, you know, leaps and bounds ahead, and then the tire blew up. And he got lucky. He got lucky his car went to the right into the wall, because if it went left, he would have hit a wall straight on, and that would not have been good.
Yeah.
And he got lucky when Hamilton locked up and went out, or else, I mean, Hamilton doesn't get points. He could have won the race on the restart.
He didn't get locked up. He forgot to...
he did push the wrong button. That's right.
Button. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Which is unbelievable to think that oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? You work so hard, and Lewis Hamilton said, like, it's my bad. The team worked so hard, and we were in a position to win somehow, and I made a mistake. It's just, I can't believe Sergio Perez went by him. I can't believe there wasn't a crash when Hamilton went straight. But it's been interesting. But I'll tell you this: I like the normal courses way better than the city courses, because I like to be able to see the passing and all of that.
Yep.
So that's where I'm at this year.
Agreed. Yeah. But at least this was better than Monaco. Bored me to tears.
Oh,
at least there was some passing in this one.
Yeah, Monaco. I think I took a nap.
Hey, just so you know, if we're going to Montreal, you're also going to be our tour guide and translator.
Well, we're going to be eating poutine and smoked meat for a whole weekend, so you guys better be ready.
No Montreal Canadiens hot dogs or something like that? Aren't they famous for great hot dogs up there at the building anyway?
Quebec City had the better one.
Okay.
Again, here's my Quebec City bias. The Nordiques had way better hot dogs than Montreal.
Et le Colisée. All right. Hey, man, thanks for your time as always. Be good, sir.
You guys too. It's fun talking to you guys this morning.
Thank you, Marty. Marty, of course, you can listen to on the Instigators here on WGR from 10 to noon.
There's also the fun of every race right after you think, man, I can't wait to see that episode of Drive to Survive in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, they come out with this episode when Verstappen goes, you know, blows a tire at 200 miles an hour, like.
Going to have to bleep that out a little bit, I think.
Right.
You know, and then also like the Hamilton, I know we're late, I'm really sorry, but the Hamilton thing was interesting, Jeremy. I don't know if you recorded it, went back and watched it, but during the stoppage as they were waiting for the restart, might even have been when they were back out on the track or the streets, he said something on the radio to his crew, like, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Like, I don't want to, let's not go crazy in two laps and do something stupid just to win the race when it could knock us out, because this is about the points championship over the course of the season. So he says that, and ironically, he pushes the wrong button, knocks himself out, and gets absolutely no points on a restart when he could have won the race, and Verstappen had left already. It was such a freaking crazy race. Let me see. Go ahead. I got a win cash code, but did you want to get
go for it? I got pick of the week coming up. I'll say what I was going to say for pick of the week.
I got a hockey stat of the day when we get back to about one of the teams that's still alive in the playoffs.
And we have to play maybe the quote of the year. I'm going to add to the stat of the day. When we do the stat of the year.
Quote of the year.
We should also have a competition for quote of the year because there's a pitcher from a Virginia baseball team, the UVA.
Yeah, I saw this on Twitter, but I didn't hear the clip.
Oh, you are in for a treat.
That good, huh?
You're in for a
treat. Everybody was retweeting it. Hmm. All right. I thought you were going to say it was Shifley saying the Department of Player Safety shut him down. code word. Yeah, you're still going to have a half hour to get it in. Don't freak out. It is Harbor. So text Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, H-A-R-B-O-R, Harbor, to 72881. If you do that, you have a chance to win $1,000 in our National Win Cash Contest. Now, message and data rates may apply. You have until 9 o'clock to text code word in. Do not text the code word while you are driving. This is why we give you extra time to get it done. A, we always run late. B, don't drive and text. Harbor, 72881. Hopefully you win $1,000. Our Win Cash Contest, more code words coming out to you throughout the course of the day on all the shows, is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better better. Download the BetQL app today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The one thing that I will say about all three of these young men is they're just unbelievable guys. Like they, you know, for their age, they have a lot of maturity. Owen comes across as one of those guys that when you know, sometimes you meet players, like I've met that Shane Wright, that kid, and some of the other guys that have turned out to be really good players. They have a confidence about them, but they're curious about things and they're pretty sure of themselves, you know, while, you know, being curious. And that to me is what Owen Power is. I mean, he's, you know, he's a really good kid. He wants to do well. He's a team player. And he's, you know, for me, I mean, any, you know, one of three of these guys would be a great asset. Owen is a special player. And, you know, even I didn't know, you know, like you can't really sometimes see their ceiling. I'm not a great evaluator of how guys are going to turn out for the most part player. But when I saw Owen play at the World Championships, you know, that's a, you know, he went from playing college to that level and he looked better at that level than he did even in college. So that says a lot about, you know, the potential of somebody like that. But, you know, for me, it's all about like, does this guy want to get better? Does he, you know, is he going to listen? And, you know, is he okay accepting the things that he's got to do to become the player he wants? And Owen is all of those guys wrapped into one.
Steve Shields, former Saber, who is on the University of Michigan hockey staff since three Wolverines might go in the first 10 picks, maybe two at the top. He was on with the Instigators yesterday. That's an on-demand audio. We will talk more about the top prospects in the draft a little less than an hour from now. Adam Kimmelman will join us from NHL.com. Quick stat of the day for you, and then Jeremy's got the quote of the year. Maybe? Okay.
We want to offer a stat of the day also.
All right. Well, stat of the day. Let's do this. It is brought to you by Cows of Buffalo. Get moved. With Cows of Buffalo, container on wheels, mobile storage, rent a cow today, 592-3343. Thank you, Elsie. The Islanders won last night. They move on. They win a playoff series, beat Boston. That is the fifth playoff series the Islanders have won over the last three seasons, 2019, 2020, 2021. The five playoff series they've won, which equals the total of playoff series they won the previous 34 years. From 1985, you know, they had four straight cups. And then from 1985 to 2018, they won five playoff series over 34 years. They've now won five since 2019. That's my stat of the day contribution.
My stat of the day is just a Randy Moss stat. Pro Football Focus College tweeted this out. He never played a college football game where he didn't score. 54 touchdowns in 28 games in college.
Never had a no-touchdown game?
He never played a college football game in which he did not score.
Huh.
It's pretty good.
That is good. That is good. How many get 20? What'd you say? 28?
54 touchdowns in 28 games.
I'm trying to think of its stat of the year. I don't think so, but that's a really good stat. I mean, you know, Randy Moss, who's in the Hall of Fame playing at Marshall against 1AA teams, so
right.
He probably
right.
should have scored with a good quarterback, you know, right? Pennington or right? But yeah, right? Yeah, he was there when Pennington was there, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Potential quote of the year.
Well, I was just thinking about this. We have a stat of the day, and we might not always have a quote of the day, but we have a stat of the day, and we try to get a stat of the year, and then, you know, end of the year, we look back and say, like, you know what? This was the stat of the year, right? Our first one was the Larry Fitzgerald stat, one stat of the year.
Yeah, that's an awesome stat.
The one that he had more
tackles, special teams tackles than drops.
Or interception tackles
crazy.
And drops.
Yeah.
So that was our stat of the year.
That's right, interception, not special teams, right.
I thought about quote of the year because, you know, every once in a while we run across these quotes. You'll hear them in, you know, as we rejoin or opens or whatever. You hear these quotes from time to time. There's a Virginia pitcher that his name is Stephen Skoch, I believe. And he gave a post-game interview after, you know, coming in and doing well. And, well, you didn't hear it. You just saw people tweeting about it?
I know a lot of people were tweeting about it.
So Virginia eliminated South Carolina and moved on to face Old Dominion in the Columbia Regional Final of the College World Series. And here's what the guy said who was interviewed in the postgame.
Well, emotions are go in, win. I heard a fan offer free Dippin' Dots if I blew it, which the price of Dippin' Dots with inflation is just unreal. So for a brief moment, I was like, damn, Dippin' Dots sound good. But also, I thought in the back of my head, we win today, we win tomorrow, or tonight. We're going to be here another day. That's more per diem. So that means buy my own Dippin' Dots and be a winner.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean,
that is great logic, by the way. Right? How awesome is that? All right, do I want to throw the game on purpose because I get Dippin' Dots? Wait a minute. If we win, they give me more meal money, and then I can buy the Dippin' Dots.
Yeah.
That's great logic. That is a kid with a head on it. That is a future CEO right there.
What a post-game interview.
That's amazing.
Great job.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I would have – if I were the guys doing the interview, I'm not sure how I would have come back with another question.
He went on to talk about some more stuff, including
– like, what do you – how was your curveball today? Like, how do you follow up that logic?
Yeah.
I'm not a big Dippin' Dots guy.
We're now rooting for Virginia, I guess.
Yeah,
just for another post-game interview.
Yeah, from this guy.
Right.
I don't know if someone offered maybe pizza or a helmet sundae. I've never been a big Dippin' Dots guy. I'm more of a helmet and sundae guy, but that's pretty funny. I like that. We love interviews where there's some personality, you know, where you have some fun with it, and you know, you think the guy standing on the mound, it's a playoff game. You know, you're playing in the postseason, and maybe it's double elimination. I don't know if they had a winner go home or they had a second game. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But you're playing in this critical game, and is he concentrating on the sign from what's the next pitch? What's going on in the next? Nah, there's a guy in the crowd yelling, "Hey, blow the game, and I'll give you Dippin' Dots." Like that. I guess they do pay attention to crowd noise.
There's news on the Houston Texans, which. No, from the Department of Things You Never Thought You Would Hear, they canceled their minicamp.
Because they're just not good, or?
Head coach David Culley announced they will not have a minicamp. They got enough work done through 4 weeks with good attendance. They won't need minicamp.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. Yeah, right.
You think it's about Deshaun Watson?
No, I was just going to say, I think teams are trying to give, you know, the players didn't want to do any workouts. I think a number of teams, they're not the only team to cancel their minicamp completely. And I think a number of teams are doing that just to not put these guys through a mandatory minicamp. Go ahead, guys. You're done for the summer. Go home. I didn't think about it, though, because technically, Deshaun Watson would be a no-show if he didn't show up at minicamp.
Right.
He's under contract. He's not on the exempt list. He would be a no-show.
Jeremy Fowler wrote they had braced for a no-show, but now that becomes a moot point.
Huh.
And of course,
yeah, I guess I could see it. You want to avoid it completely, just don't have three more practices.
Yeah, I suppose as a new head coach, because Culley's a first-year head coach, the Texans would get more opportunities to bring guys in, right? You get more freedom to do stuff. You can show up earlier and have, I think, an additional
workouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they've canceled their minicamp.
I've seen the Niners canceled their minicamp because too many guys were getting injured. They lost, I think they lost two players for the year, actually, with injuries from their workouts. So they decided to scrap the minicamp. Here's one thing, too. I know you got pick of the week we'll get to in the next segment. We haven't heard anything from the Bills about joint practices with another team, right?
Right.
Seems like there have been a number of announcements in the last couple of weeks about, I don't even know who it was today. There was another one today about so-and-so is going to have a joint practice with so-and-so.
Yeah, they're coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wondered, keep an eye out for that. I don't know if it's Carolina, which it was the last time. So I wonder if the Bills will – it seems to be the trend now. Teams are getting back to joint practices for whatever reason. They like it. There's one less preseason game. Who knows? So I'm just throw that out there because I wonder if we're going to hear the Bills announce at some point they're going to have a joint practice with some team.
Do you think they'll ever go back to Fisher?
Yeah, I do actually.
Okay.
Am I in the minority?
I think they do.
I believe them. Look – I don't think this whole "we love getting away for camp" is a line. I honestly, they say it enough. I truly believe what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are saying, that they want to go away, camaraderie, team building, all that stuff. So I believe that. If you're going to do that, you're not practicing Orchard Park. So I guess the question is, are they going? They're going. I think they're going to go back to going away. Is it Fisher? Is it somewhere else in Rochester? Is it Syracuse? Do they move camps? It'd be tough to move camp every year. It's such a logistical nightmare. I do believe they're going to go back. Yeah. I think they put a lot of value
in it. I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
They did build themselves a beautiful facility.
They have everything they need in Orchard Park.
Everything they've ever needed.
Yep.
And I feel like it was earlier, maybe a couple years back, that thought there was a little bit of a rumble that maybe McDermott didn't love going away.
Yes, there was a speculation that as soon as the contract was up, the new regime would not renew the Fisher contract. Yeah.
No, they might decide there's value in it. Maybe he's changed his mind. Maybe that was never true. But when you build yourself just the state-of-the-art perfect facility at home, the idea of leaving it, I wonder. Maybe instead of a full camp there, you do
a couple weeks,
or you do you want to do a scrimmage against Washington or a joint practice. Maybe that's when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, instead of, I guess they went from going camp where they'd move all over the fields and it got harder and harder over time to see what they were doing.
Right.
And then they'd have primetime practices with tickets only. So maybe the future is some version of that where it's only primetime practices, we'll bus out or whatever. Then I would worry about, they worried about soft tissue injuries if you sit on a bus before practice for two hours. I wonder what they do in the future. I don't think it's a slam dunk to go back to what it was.
Well, they do have, I think, again, I'm going to, I'm basing it mostly on how much those guys always talk about the value of being away. But they do have a fabulous strength and conditioning and weight room and all those facilities. They've improved the practice fields. If you're at Fisher and it rains, it's a lost day. I mean, what are you going to do? Go do a walkthrough in the basketball floor? You have a field house in Orchard Park where you can run a full practice. So, I guess the drawback would be fans. Unless you have some open practices in the stadium, you'd have to build some kind of stands outside the practice field to allow a small number of fans to come in and watch you. And again, on their list of things, Jeremy, I'm not sure how important it is to have fans at training camp. But that certainly would be challenging in Orchard Park. I don't think they need to be in Rochester for marketing purposes. It worked. You expanded your season ticket base. I don't think that's a big deal anymore. I'm just going to go with it. They seem to be really believe in being away for a few weeks and coming together as a team. So I'm going to say yes, they would go away, even though they have fantastic facilities on their campus, so to speak, in Orchard Park. We'll talk pick of the week in a moment. We'll talk some football at the top of the hour. We're going to pop into Nashville because, of course, the Titans made the big move getting Julio Jones. The Bills are going to play the Titans this year. We'll be checking in with Teron Davenport, who covers the Titans for ESPN.com. 803-0550 to join us. It's looking like Don Granato as the head coach of the Sabres, unless something changes in the next couple weeks or so. That seems to be where this is headed. Sabre fans, what do you think? You're down on that? 803-0550 to join us. If there's something else you want to get to, that's fine. Anytime this morning with us here on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. So, there's something coming up starting tomorrow. It's actually really exciting. And it has a theme song. How about that?
Huh.
Bono sings this song.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like U2 in my headphones.
Yeah. Pick of the week is 2016 Audi Q5 from Riverfront. Marty Sr., Marty Jr., Western New York's experts in finding quality pre-owned vehicles from all over the country. It's a pretty cool vehicle. This Audi Q5, a Quattro 2.0 Premium Plus model. Four-door sedan, all-wheel drive, white exterior, black leather on the inside, four-cylinder engine, looks like new. You can own this Audi Q5 Quattro for $23,995. An impressive sedan, hard to find under $24,000. Check out all 23 picks of this awesome Audi Q5 Quattro online at riverfrontautosales.com or call them at 886-1626. So, what year is it?
2021.
Yeah.
I thought you were giving me like, is this a trick question?
It's a little bit of a trick question. It's 2021.
Yeah.
Euro 2020 starts tomorrow.
And that is?
That's the World Cup of soccer teams in Europe.
Okay, but it's not just 2020. Euro. It's 20.
But it's Euro 2020.
They never had it last year. They postponed it.
That's right. That's right. So 32 teams, soccer, international soccer with big time stakes starts tomorrow.
Cool.
And you got games out the wazoo. Tomorrow, Turkey and Italy at 3 o'clock. Saturday, 9 a.m., 12, 3. Three games a day, just tons of soccer. England plays on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock.
That's always a treat.
Yeah.
I remember watching, it was a World Cup, Jeremy, and my wife and I happened to be in Toronto, and we were walking around during the day. Or no, it was Jonathan and I. We had gone up there for something. Anyway, England was playing. Oh, my Lord. You know, the outdoor bars, restaurants with the outdoor seating, rather. Everybody was, soccer was on everywhere, walking up around, Front Street, Young, whatever. Soccer was on all over the place. Man, the English fans were loud. Let me just tell you, it was amazing. That's just a small thumbnail of what it's like, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool to watch the soccer, watch people watching the soccer up there.
Well, England is in a group with Scotland, Croatia, and the Czech Republic. That's Group D. The group of death.
I was going to ask. I love that. Whoever made that phrase up, that's amazing. A group of
death. The group of death is Group F.
And that is?
France, Germany, Portugal, and Hungary.
Ooh.
To have France, Germany, and Portugal in one group. Yeah. It's the strongest group of you know, those three in one group.
Yeah.
Group of death. So, yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll preview it maybe with Nick Mendola tomorrow. I texted him.
You still a big Netherlands guy?
Oh, of course.
You love the Dutch?
Love the Dutch.
Okay.
Love the Netherlands. I've seen all the kits for this year's, for last year's Euro 2020 that's being played in 2021. All right, you tell me who you're rooting for. You got Italy, Switzerland, Turkey, Wales, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, Russia.
Belgium. Or Belgium Austria. Or Denmark?
Belgium's not a bad choice.
Okay.
They've got some great players.
Yeah.
Is Austria. Iceland in this year's tournament?
Iceland is not in this year's tournament.
And
no.
He just wants the celebrations.
Yeah, they have no Iceland.
We need someone with the crazy celebrations after they score.
Let's see. Poland. Is Poland in?
They are. Poland's in a group with Poland. Slovakia, Spain, and Sweden.
Oh, yeah. Poland's going all the way.
Don't sleep on the Slovaks. I feel like Matthew Collar would say that if he was still here. You must love soccer. There's a lot of ties, Brayton. There could be ties. You must love these these tournaments. Are like, oh, yeah, ties.
Crazy. Yeah, I don't care about ties and soccer.
You crazy kids.
Well, a couple
kids.
Things. You'll see the thing about, you know, anytime England's in a tournament like this, England's in a soccer tournament, you have to say a lot is, it's coming home. It's coming home.
To like winning the trophy, bringing home that type of thing?
When England starts talking about how they're going to win a tournament, that's what they say all
Do
the time.
Do they ever?
It's coming.
Have they ever? I mean, has it been?
They don't win.
Right? It's been like forever since they won a
they haven't won the World Cup since, I think, the 60s, and I don't know when they last won the Euro, but it's coming home. Mm-hmm. I'll check when they last won the Euro. So if you want to, if you are out and about and someone asks you about the Euro 2020 and you don't really have any thoughts on it, you say, what do you think about the tournament? What do you say, Howard?
It's coming home.
It's coming home. Yeah, and then you have a take. Like, oh, you think so? You think
I got to remember that. It's coming home.
You just said it. It's coming home.
You got to put it on a banner somewhere.
So, yeah, anytime there's just tons of soccer on every day for weeks, that's pretty good. It's a 32-team group stage tournament. Like, let's go. Good stuff.
Let me get connected before we go to break. We've been talking about a little bit about the Sabres, looking like Don Granato could be the guy here, maybe a couple weeks away from an announcement. So on that, first off, we'll get connected with our fans, brought to you by Bon Shannock & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Jace tweeted in, he seemed to get the best out of them. They didn't look like a deer in the headlights when he became the coach. We were also talking about Dippin' Dots, and I happen to say that I was not a big fan. Craig tweeted in, Howard, Dippin' Dots are the ice cream of the future, and you can get them now. It's miraculous. Don't slander them. Haven't they been the ice cream of the future for like 20 years?
That's right.
They're always the ice cream of the future. When do they become the ice cream of the past? If you're always the ice cream of the future.
Soon.
So I think there's a Spaceballs line in here.
Yes, when will then be now? Soon.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you for picking up on that. That's good.
England has never won the Euro.
But they've won a World Cup. It's just
been the 60s.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was 66.
All right. I'll trust you.
I mean, I'm not the
so, by the way, the 2020 Olympics are the 2020 Olympics, even if they're played in 2021?
Yes.
Tokyo. Like, they would be the 2020 Games?
Yes.
All right. I just want to make sure I got that right.
Yeah. England won the 66 World Cup. Yeah. It's kind of like how, you know, cars. The 2022 model cars are going to be out in 2021. It's
right,
just like
right.
You just play with the year a little bit.
That's true. That always confuses me, though. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. WTR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.